The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a great Palm Sunday, a Resurrection Sunday coming up this week. And so on Good Friday, I'll make a decision in the next few hours. Good chance I'll take this Friday off. So we'll play a best of show. But I've got some shows in the past that we did on the theology of Easter. So if I do that, I'll set that up for Friday. And we're going to be talking in the next 5 weeks a lot about politics. We've got the primary coming up here in May in North Carolina, and that is a big deal. Primary voting is pathetic. Usually about 5 to 8 to 10% of the electorate shows up and votes. This will be in May 17th, a Tuesday, as always. And so that's a big deal. And there's primaries in some races and not in others, but we're going to have a lot of different people coming through the show in the next 4 weeks, because I believe we have a biblical mandate to be involved with politics, because politics here in the American context affects our neighbor. And if you say you love your neighbor, then you should be engaged in politics, because we know it affects our neighbors. And especially as we've learned even more so in the last 12 months, it affects our children in terms of education. So that is becoming a bigger and bigger deal, as it should be. And so one of the things that we need more of, not just in Washington, D.C., but down here in North Carolina or whatever state you might live in, is more godly men and women in office to be able to juggle that and do both things, especially if they're pastors. Not that every pastor would be a great politician, but every pastor is going to have a great impact if they're following the word of God. And so that's why I would love to see more and more of them stepping up to the plate. And a friend of mine who's been a friend for several years is one of those pastors that is doing just that. Pastor Neil Jackson, who's at Beulah Baptist Church in Bennett, North Carolina, is stepping up to the plate. NeilJackson4NC.org is his website. Neil, N-E-A-L, Jackson, 4, the number 4, NC.org. And NC House 78, Neil, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you? God bless you.
Hey, I'm doing great. I appreciate Steve Noble. Appreciate all that you do. And there's a lot of bad information out there hiding behind the title of news, and yes, you bring a good Christian perspective on the news, so I appreciate you and what you're doing.
Thank you, my brother, and thank you for being a part of that calling. And Neil is very supportive and helps with the radio ministry, and so we thank God for that, and we labor together and put our shoulders to the same plow. But was this a surprise to anyone, Neil, when you decided you were going to run for office?
I'm sure it was a surprise to a lot of people. Steve, you remember we went to Israel a few years ago, and our Bible teacher at Caesarea Philippi, Rob McCoy, who you've had on a zillion times, he challenged us that when Jesus said those words, on this rock I'll build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and he challenged us to go back to America and invade this dark space that the Christian has abandoned. Amen. And just get involved in this political arena. And so I did that. I came back and I encouraged people in my church to run. And I don't know, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago, I sat down with our state representative. I said, hey, if there's ever, when it comes time for you to step down, let me know, because I would like to pray about running in your place, or at least getting another Christian conservative to run in your place. And so in December, he called and said, hey, Neil, I'm announcing I'm not running for re-election, which I wasn't expecting. Nobody was expecting. Nobody in Raleigh was expecting it.
Yeah.
So what I did, I called my wife. I said, hey, Tracy, Alan McNeil, our good friend, is not going to run for re-election. And I thought she would try to talk me out of it. And her words were, so when are you going to file? She said, we prayed about this. You said you want an opportunity to minister to people and to serve people that would never walk in the doors of our church. So this is your opportunity. And so took it to the deacons. Our deacons blessed it. And our church has just been amazingly great. They're viewing this as a ministry of our church.
Oh, yeah.
And are totally supporting us. And so did we shock a lot of people? Absolutely, and I would be the first one that was shocked, But for me, Steve, it was a calling of God.
Yeah, that's
the,
right.
Before Alan McNeil ever called me, the night before, I was up at the Cove and studying about Timothy. And God clearly said, Timothy, he would serve, and he would go wherever Paul sent him. And that night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, God said, Neil Jackson, will you go wherever I send you? And I'm like, God, I love my church. I don't want to leave my church. And he says, will you go wherever I send you? I'm like, God, you know I will. And then the next day, I got the news about this seat. So for me, it's a calling. So whatever happens, if I get beat up or whatever, I know I'm called of God, and that's what I would encourage everybody. If you're going to run from office, don't make it about your ego. Make it about the calling of God upon your life, because when it gets tough, you're going to need the calling of God.
Amen. That's exactly right. One of the things that I love about a pastor like you, Neil, running for office, we're talking to Pastor Neil Jackson, who's running in North Carolina House, neiljackson4nc.org. That's the number 4, neiljackson4nc.org, is this really isn't a difficult leap. If you know the Word of God as well as you do, you preach it, you have a podcast out there, you're on the radio, you've been preaching and teaching for years. When you know the Word of God as well as you do and as well as I do, that translates over pretty easily into the issues of the day. So when, like, on your website, whether we're talking about being pro-life or pro-family, even pro-gun because of the value and the sanctity of human life, so we're talking about defense and self-defense, pro-freedom and jobs and law enforcement and education, all those things are in our wheelhouse as biblical Christians. That's not that complicated, is it?
Absolutely. It's and you look at the history of America, the pastors were leading the way. And number one issue I'm asked now, why would a pastor get involved in politics? And my answer is, well, why not? If crooked attorneys can get involved, if the progressive left can get involved,
yes.
Why can't a conservative, Bible-believing Christian get involved and just stand up for what's right? So my background before ministry was financial planning. So I think we got to have good government. And one thing about being a Republican is it's less government and less taxes. But at the same time, some of the greatest issues of our time are quite possibly going to come down the pike with whatever the Supreme Court does on this abortion issue. And we need people who will be uncompromisingly stand strongly for life and liberty, because they're trying to take away our liberties every day.
Yeah, and that's the reality of it. So, again, I would say for us as biblical Christians, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you sit there and go, well, what areas should a Christian not be involved with? Well, obvious areas of sin, but when it comes to serving your neighbor through the government, that's a no-brainer for us. That's why I'm so excited that Neil's running. Neil, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Pastor Neil Jackson. He's running for North Carolina House in the 78th District. A lot going on there, a lot to talk about, big issues with Neil Jackson. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, off to a rip-roaring start. Going to be talking about politics a lot. That's the public arena. That's your neighbor. Okay, I was just making this case on the break, and I'm going to bring back Pastor Neil Jackson here in just a second. NeilJackson4NC.org. I've got the link up for everybody. You can check it out for yourself on the Facebook Live page. That'll be on my regular page as well, the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. So I've got links there. You can go check it out yourself. But it's Neil, N-E-A-L, Jackson, 4, the number 4, NC.org. NeilJackson4NC.org. On the commercial break, I was just reminding people in the story of the Good Samaritan that stopping to help the beaten and bruised and bloodied traveler is not really a matter of conscience. It's not an option. The point of Jesus telling that story is that all these people are your neighbors. Well, when it comes to politics, everybody in America is my neighbor at a national level. Everybody in North Carolina is my neighbor at a state level. Everybody in Wake County is my neighbor as a Wake County level. And everybody in this Senate district or that House district, they're all your neighbors. And so how can you turn a blind eye to a political system that affects all your neighbors? And I think you can make a good case that we have a lot of hurting people that are abused and left out in the cold, and we have a lot of immorality at the hands of the government. And so how do you not at least try? And that's what you do every 2 years when you go vote. You're at least trying to bring the Word of God to bear in order to help your neighbors. So I don't think that's a matter of conscience. I think that's a matter of obedience. And some pastors are called to go right into that realm, and certainly that's the case with Pastor Neil Jackson. Neil, again, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, my friend, for having on. Totally agree with you and being a good neighbor. You look, they're introducing Jesus to the Gentile world. in Acts chapter 10 for the very first time. Don't introduce him as the King of Kings. Don't introduce him as the Lord of Lords. They introduce Jesus for the first time as he went about doing good. And we as Christians should lead the way in just doing what's right and serving our neighbor. And so I implore all of your listeners, the many thousands and thousands out there listening to you, we have to get back in this public arena, and we have to just go there to serve, not to be served.
That's right. What a great point, to serve and not to be served, which is why it's such a great opportunity. Neil Jackson, 4NC.org. So as you deal with the people down there in this particular district, in the North Carolina House District, and your church is in Bennett, what do you find are some of the biggest issues that are facing the folks down there? Because the challenge is they think oftentimes, Neil, you know this, because we get inundated with national issues. Sometimes we forget that we live in a state called North Carolina. So what are some of the big issues that you're running into with the folks down there that you are asking them to vote for you?
So, Steve, I'm probably a little bit biased on this, but I believe our district is the greatest district in the state of North Carolina, one of the most conservative districts in North Carolina, and one of the five most conservatives in the whole country.
Wow.
But we have a long, narrow district, runs about 70 miles from almost Greensboro all the way down to Pinehurst. So a lot of diversity in the district. You have a huge agricultural dimension, but yet you go down to Pinehurst, we have Ashboro where the zoo is, but you have a totally different culture in Pinehurst,
yeah,
and Seven Lakes than you do in Erect and you do in Ramseur. So it's just a great district. And one of the testimonies that I have used about our district, Moore County, there's a group that has risen up and called Moms of Moore County. And they have just gotten frustrated with some of the decisions of our school board, and they have committed, we're going to take back our schools. And they're leading the way, and they're putting up candidates to run for a school board, and they are saying, no, we're tired of ungodly people making ungodly decisions that are detrimental to our children.
Yeah.
So we're going to get involved in this process, and we're going to put Christian people and godly people on our school board. And this year they're running a homeschool mom to sit on the,
wow,
the school board in Moore County. So now I think that should be the model, that Christians come back and take politics and Christians get involved, but hooray for the moms. Now I would challenge the dads. Where are the dads of our county standing up and saying, no, we will be the spiritual leaders and we will get involved in this public arena, but we'll take anything that we can get. So I celebrate our moms of Moore County.
Oh, man, yeah, I would love to see not just there in Moore County, but all over the state of North Carolina become, in terms of a moms getting involved and all parents getting involved, let's turn it all into one big Loudoun County, like in Virginia, where you find out what's going
on. And
that's
really what's going on in Moore County. I mean, they have invaded. There's 1,000 of them, and they're showing,
wow,
up at school board meetings, and they're emailing, and they've just said, no, these are our children. We know what's best for our children, not some government bureaucrat in Washington or in Raleigh. So I celebrate what they're,
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, such an awesome thing. You mentioned the life position earlier, Neil, and everybody needs to know, coming up probably in June, we're going to get a ruling out of the Supreme Court that directly affects Roe versus Wade. I don't think they're going to overturn it, but I do think they're going to restrict it. This is pushing back to the state level. So should we just blow off the life issue and just leave it to D.C., or does that matter here in the state of North Carolina as well in terms of governance?
Great question. So North Carolina, the bans abortion at 20 weeks. If you look, there's three other states that have really taken some leadership. The Mississippi,
yeah,
law, they ban abortion at 12 weeks. And then the Texas heartbeat bill bans it approximately 6 weeks. But Oklahoma, the most conservative pro-life state in our country, has just done a total ban of abortion in Oklahoma. So my word, and what I would encourage all of our colleagues in Raleigh, is we have to go bold and let's stand unashamedly for life, and let's get everything that we can. And I'm for abolishing abortion. If we can't, yeah, abolish it, then let's do the 6 weeks. If we can't do 6 weeks, let's do 12. But I'm for as much as we possibly can get. And we cannot go weak-kneed and say, well, this company may do this and this company may not come to North Carolina. I believe the favor of Almighty God Amen. And the hand of God's protection is more important to North Carolina than what any company may do.
Yes.
So I want to encourage all of my colleagues, let's go bold for righteousness and godliness and let God protect us.
Yeah, that's right. That it just all we need to do is be still and God will fight for us, as we read in the book of Exodus. And I love that. That's such a great way of looking at it, Neil. That's the way we all should. How can we help you? We got about a minute, about a little bit over a minute left. How can we help you? How can we support you in what you're doing, trying to run for the North Carolina House?
Without a doubt, I mean, prayer. And that's not a cliche. If I had the choose between prayer and people knocking doors for me, or people making phone calls for me, or people writing checks for me, we need all of the above. But by far, this is spiritual warfare.
That's right.
And there are forces and there are enemies that are not excited about a Christian, a conservative, bold Christian. I'm not a bomb thrower. I'm not trying to get headlines. I don't want to run for president. I want to serve my community.
Amen.
But there is spiritual opposition. So I would just ask your listeners, just pray for Neil Jackson. If you're every listener listening today would just give me 30 seconds and pray a prayer. God bless Neil Jackson. Protect his home, protect Amen. His marriage, protect his kids.
Amen.
What a gift that would be for me.
Yeah,
we have financial needs.
That's right.
Whatever would be a great help.
Yeah, we got to pray first. Don't ever discount the power of prayer. That's the most powerful weapon we have. Pray, volunteer, and give. You can do all of that at neiljackson4nc.org. Neil, God bless you, brother. We'll have you on again before the primary.
Thanks, friend.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble coming soon to a school near you. This is happening in New Jersey this September. We appreciate Neil Jackson being on. This September in New Jersey to require second graders learn about gender identity. New Jersey Public School second graders will be getting lessons related to gender identity this fall under state sex education guidelines that will take effect in September. The standards listed performance expectations, the range of ways people express their gender, and how gender role stereotypes may limit behavior. One school district in the state distributed sample lesson plans indicating first graders could be taught they have boy parts but feel like a girl. One lesson plan, Purple, Pink, and Blue, instructs teachers to talk to their first graders about gender identity, and its first objective is to have the students be able to define gender, gender identity, and gender role stereotypes. Okay, this is so satanic and so evil. This is child abuse. This is why, God bless Florida, the legislature down there and Governor Ron DeSantis passing the bill to say, no, kindergarten students, first and second grade, I would say third and fourth grade, maybe even fifth grade, they don't need to be indoctrinated into this garbage, this crazy stuff, this deviant worldview. This is the progressive left. This is the Democrat Party. Okay? So I'll leave that on your side of the table. If you're a follower of Christ and you support the Democrat Party, you've got to have to deal with this stuff more and more, okay? Because they are all over this. So let's listen to, this is a teacher from New Jersey. She's on Twitter sharing some inside information. Then I'm going to play two other things for you to get you sufficiently disturbed and angry and sick, okay? So you understand the truth of what's happening out there. And I've got some shows coming up. I'm just going to flat out ask the question. I've asked it before. How can we keep sending our kids to the public school system at this point? I mean, this is not an isolated incident. This is happening in more and more places. It's all over the place. We're just finding out about it slowly but surely. Okay, here's a teacher in New Jersey. Go.
Hey guys, teacher in New Jersey here. I have a lot of people reaching out to me about the changes that were made in New Jersey for the new health curriculum to be implemented in September. And I'm just going to share some of the things that have been sent to me. I do have children of my own, one being a second grader. So here's an example of next year what a first grade lesson might look like.
Jeez.
It's called Pink, Blue, Purple, and you can see it's slated for first grade to take about 30 minutes, and the range of ways people express their gender. So the objective is to define gender, gender identity, and gender role stereotypes. And you can pause and try to read the scripted
first
piece
graders.
For the teacher. They're to hold up two greeting cards for a newborn baby and make a Venn diagram showing the stereotypes of boys and girls, and then talk to them about how if You could feel like you're a girl, even if you have what's called boy parts or girl parts. And you can feel like a girl, even if you have boy parts. Then it has them break into smaller groups with a Venn diagram and make lists of things girls play with versus what boys play with and things they could both play with. And then talk about the stereotyping and decide that it's okay for anyone to play with anything that they want, regardless of what type of toy it is. This was sent to me from a post through Holly Shepsey, who put it out there in a Dropbox link. So you can search her on Facebook and get the Dropbox link to see all the different lesson ideas that are going to be pushed out.
The actual
the other one that is concerning a lot of parents is a maze.
Listen to this.
If you go to YouTube and type in a maze into the search bar, it's going to give you all of the video clips that are designed for teachers to be able to show in class. So I'm going to turn my camera around and show you some of the titles. There were some concerns that one of the videos talks about porn and how it's okay and it's free.
Okay, that's one. All right, stop it right there. We'll stop it right there because that's what I did when I watched this over the weekend. So you go to YouTube and then you go to a maze. And you find out. Now, you go look at the company online, amaze.org, if you want to look it for yourself. And immediately, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go look at their partners. Who's partnering with Amaze? Okay? And you see how there's an international group, and you keep coming down, and I'm like, I don't know what this is. Oh, I know what this is. International Planned Parenthood Federation. I know what that is. International Planned Parenthood Federation in the Southeast Asia region. Okay, International Planned Parenthood. Here's another one. Queer Lexicon. There's another one. And if I keep coming down here and you see Love Matters, member of the Love Matters Global Network, that's an LGBTQ organization, on and on and on it goes. Okay, that's a maze. And the particular cartoon she's talking about, this is for little kids, fourth grade, okay, at the oldest, but they're pushing this down to these teachers that are teaching first and second grade, so this could show up there. This one's about porn. Is porn, okay, this is a cartoon, animated cartoon for little kids in school. Okay, pushed out by Amaze, amaze.org. Okay, you ready? All right, play it. This is going to be disturbing, everybody.
For real? Is my brother watching porn?
Oh, is that bad?
That's the little boy.
Am I a bad person for watching porn?
Hashtag Ask Amaze!
Absolutely not. Watching porn doesn't make you a bad person. It means you're curious. It's normal to want to know about sex and naked bodies. I mean, look at this guy's penis.
See, now.
Isn't it just unreal?
Pause that for a second. Okay. I'm probably going to get in trouble, right? Because I just played that on Facebook and YouTube and on the air. Just stop it. And then the stuff that they're showing in this cartoon, you can't see it on the air, but you can see it on Facebook. I mean, it's graphic and disgusting. And this is for, if you go to the Amaze website and you go to their YouTube page, they're going to say this is for like fourth graders. But they're pushing this material out to teachers of kindergarten, first and second grade. And so when you have some teachers that are as whacked out as some of these teachers are, do you think they're not going to use that? Believe me, For those of you on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, you just saw where that was going, okay? That's a cartoon for little kids showing things like extreme versions. It's nuts. It's so satanic. It's so dark. It's so evil. This is grooming. Grooming to a worldview. It's grooming. It's child abuse is what it is. Okay, let's play the, this is a trans teacher who talks to their kindergarten class. Kindergarten. This is in Boston. Let's play that one.
I'm a man, but when I was a baby, the doctors told my parents I was a girl. And so my parents gave me a name that girls typically have and bought me clothes that girls typically wear. And until I was 18 years old, everyone thought I was a girl. And this was super, super uncomfortable for me because I knew that wasn't right. The way I like to describe it is like wearing a super itchy sweater. The longer you wear it, the itchier it gets, and the only way to make the itching stop is to have everyone see and know the person that you really are. So when I was 18, I told my family and my friends that I'm really a boy, and it was like this huge weight had been lifted off of my shoulders, and I had the freedom to be who I truly am. And even though this experience is super challenging sometimes, it made me the person I am, and I'm super proud to be transgender.
There you go.
So I'm a man.
If you see this video, you'll sit there and go, oh, this looks like a guy in his mid-20s. This is a girl who's obviously starting at 18, started undergoing all the procedures that are, this is so dark and so crazy and so disturbing. So he's getting all jacked up with testosterone so that she can grow facial hair. She probably had a double mastectomy. Who knows what happened below the belt? Dresses like a boy, combs her hair like a boy, claims to be a boy, and that's a kindergarten teacher. That was on a Zoom call with the class. I'm so proud to be transgendered, and my parents and the doctors got it wrong. Because when I was born, they saw I had girl body parts. This is essentially what he's doing. And they were wrong. And there's another lesson where they're like, yeah, the basically here's what happens. You're born, I don't know if he said that, you're born, and then the doctors guess your gender. They guess your gender. What is that, an outie or an innie? Okay, outie, boy, innie, girl. And like 1.5 to 2% of children or babies are intersex, and most of those never manifest in any way that's significant. So that's no big deal, okay? Don't even think about that. That's a red herring. Okay. It's a distraction, but they're actually saying the doctors then guess. And then later on, you figure out what your gender is. And then if you have an outie and you stay a boy, you're cisgender. It goes on to explain all this kind of stuff. And that's kindergarten. Okay. That's kindergarten. So Amaze takes the awkward out of sex ed, real info and fun animated videos that give you all the answers you actually want to know about sex, your body, and relationships. This is for parents and for educators, okay? You go to their website, you'll see educators and parents. You can go down here and you can start looking at their stuff, educator toolkits. You can look at their videos, and this is what's out there. And this is what they're pushing down to second graders and under in New Jersey because they're telling them, go use Amaze. Here's one of the tools for you. Go use that. Oh, great. Sexuality and Tech Toolkit. I mean, it's crazy. Go look for yourself. I'll put the Amaze link on here. You can go look for yourself and go get educated. And then what we all need to do, if you have kids in the public school system, you need to assume this is in there and then go try to prove that it isn't. Don't assume that it's not in there, because I think what we're finding out is that it's all over the place. Assume that it is. And then go try to prove that it isn't. Start asking questions. It's child abuse. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I hope you're paying attention. When I do shows like the last segment I just did, talking about what's going on in New Jersey, and I'm playing a video, and that I'm... If you could see the video on radio, I would have gotten in trouble. And that's a video that they're pushing out to elementary school students. All right? All around the country, Amaze is a big organization. They're pushing it down to the local school levels. And that's the kind of garbage that's going on with all these little kids out there. And you, like I said before the break, and then we'll get to David, you have to assume this stuff is in your public school and then go try to prove that it isn't. Guilty until proven innocent. Sorry, I'm flipping it, because we've seen enough now. All over this country, several years ago, right here in Wake County, we had some parents approach us, got called to action before radio, and they're like, hey, my first grader, my second grader, my fourth grader, and I couldn't read that stuff on the air, or I would have gotten fined by the FCC. But they can pour it into your kids' brains or your grandkids' brains. This is child abuse, institutional child abuse from the Oval Office on down. Okay, that's what it is. Don't try to smooth that over. It is as bad as I'm saying it is. Okay? Pay attention. Get involved. And ultimately, I'd say get your kids out of the public school system. It's only getting worse. Anyway, setting all that aside, let's go to our good friend David Fisher for a Money Monday update. David, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I was listening to you before the break. I'm blown away what I'm hearing, and I heard bits and pieces of it before your program and other news sources, and you tied it all together. Thank you for that.
Oh, man, you're welcome. I wish I didn't have to talk about this stuff, but that's the world that we live in. And so when I'm struggling and stuff, I started the morning in Scripture. It's good to come back to Scripture. And it's so powerful, especially here in a Passion Week as we're in between Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. But let's start there so we can get our compass straight before we talking about what's going on in the news.
Absolutely. Mark 15, verse 37, 38. So this is in the backdrop of Jesus was hung on the cross, and it says in verse 37, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." So a lot of people browse over this scripture. It's so important. The veil is a piece of cloth that's huge. It's like 30 feet high, and it's 5 inches thick, and it's made out of linen. It can't be torn. It needs to be cut. And it was therefore to separate God from man. In other words, the high priest at that time was the only person that was allowed to go behind this veil once a year to offer offerings so that God would bring forgiveness. And Jesus, obviously, was the Lamb of God and shed his blood. And so the veil was torn from top to bottom. So in other words, this is just literally an impossible feat, representing that God is sending a message very loud and clear. I want everybody to come to know me and have a relationship. You don't have to go through a bunch of rituals. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But also those that are saved and have walked with the Lord, let nothing stand between you and the presence of God, because the door is wide open now. There is no more veil. So we see it bright. And this is the great promise that the Lord has given us in the scriptures, that this is a great week to celebrate his resurrection and what it does for us.
Amen. Yeah, no more middleman. I don't need to go to a priest. I don't need to go to a pastor. I can get right to the CEO. I have direct access to the creator of the universe, and that was the beauty of that veil. And torn from the top to the bottom so that nobody could question what just happened there. But it gave us direct access through Jesus Christ. Amen to that. Such a great message as we approach Easter this Sunday. So a lot going on in the news. The big R word keeps coming up. Recession, recession, recession. We've been talking about it for several weeks. So give us an update, please, David.
It's now official. Deutsche Bank, the largest bank in the world, their economists and also the head of the research team both said that the recession is coming. It's going to happen within the next 2 years. They said a slowdown will happen in the United States in a recession, and that's going to spill over to much of the rest of the world. Others have come out and said very similar things we said previously. Deutsche Bank said, but at the end result looks to be recessionary. And they said this on Tuesday, quote, "The U.S. economy is expected to take a major hit from the extra Fed tightening by late next year and early 2024, end quote. They're not the only ones. Leon Cooperman, right after that, within 30 minutes, he's a billionaire. We've talked about him before. He's quoted saying, got to get some gold. Yeah. He said this time, quote, "The market has a lot of room for downside," end quote. Others have come out, J.P. Morgan, Mark Klavenik. So in other words, he's been advocate, always buy stocks when it in the low, when it takes a downturn. Now's the time to buy. Well, he's changing his tune. And J.P. Morgan's prime brokerage section, which is the one that's responsible for overseeing hedge funds, their clients, they're telling all their hedge fund clients, sell every single time you see a rally and act like a retail investor, opposite of that, because retail investors aren't typically selling into a rally. I can keep going on there. Jeremy Grantham, billionaire, he said on Bloomberg recently, stocks are in a super bubble. Super bubbles can really wipe you out like 1929. He said this in an interview on Bloomberg News. He says, expect the S&P to drop 50% and probably as much as 70%. I say all that to say this. I'm not telling you to get everything out of stocks. Yeah. Just be careful. There are some markets, emerging markets, that they're saying is good areas to be in. I'm not telling you to put all your money in gold. I'm telling you to be diversified. That's the key in this environment.
That's right. What a great point. And so as we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, as always, for a website. So speaking of leaders, last week, the Fed governor, one of them, Brainard, gave some insight into the Fed. So what did she say, and what can we take from that?
Yeah, Lael Brainard, she said, quote, currently inflation is much too high. Boy, what a difference than we heard that from Jerome Powell over a year ago.
Jeez.
Continuing with her quote, and is subject to upside risk. She said the Federal Open Market Committee is prepared to take stronger action if indications or inflation expectations indicate that such action is warranted. So that's a mouthful of words, but what she's basically said is, hey, it's a lot worse than what we thought. We're going to have to do several things. She went on to say that they're going to have to unwind the balance sheet faster. In fact, all FOMC members are now finally in agreement that the Federal Reserve will have to move much at a faster pace in selling the debt, the treasuries that they bought, the $9.3 trillion. As a result of this, the Dow lost 200 points that day. That was last Tuesday. The NASDAQ was down 2%. NASDAQ's down a couple percent today. All the markets were down at the end of the week. It was a losing week for Wall Street. It's starting off a losing week. Just be careful in this environment because, again, we broke all these support levels, the 200-day moving average in the S&P and another support level in the NASDAQ, the 50-day moving average. So there looks like there's more downside here.
Yeah, serious trouble on the horizon. We've been talking about oil a lot and Russia a lot, and Russia no longer accepting dollars for oil. So what's happening there?
So let's just make this really simple. Steve, if you're going to fill up your car with gas and you could go to one side of your town and fill it up for $12 a gallon or drive to the other side of the town and fill it up for $6.50, which one you're going to fill up your gas tank at?
I'm going $6, baby.
Okay. So let's put some zeros behind it. If you're buying oil globally as a country from Saudi Arabia, that's currently around $120 a barrel. If you're buying oil from Russia, you can't buy in dollars anymore or euros, but you can pay in rubles, gold, or yen, or convert to the Moscow Exchange your dollars or euros for those three things and buy oil as the day is long, but pay $65 a barrel at a discount. This is why the world is moving away from the dollar. They have this financial incentive. I never thought it would be this clear, but that's where we're at right now. And that's why we're going to have, unfortunately, some dollar problem in keeping the world status of the world reserve called the dollar.
Yeah, which is a big boomerang that comes back to affect all of us. What about gold and silver? What are they doing? Because this is obviously I often bring up the teeter-totter, what's on one end versus the other end, or a sailboat where the regular market kind of equities are your big sails up above, but what's beneath the boat? Do you have a keel under there, anything ballast that balances you out? What's gold and silver doing?
Well, Robert Kiyosaki wrote the big-selling author, Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. He said, a recession is coming in the U.S. and the dollar is going to implode. He says, recessions and crashes coming. He also says, you know, prepare and diversify into gold and silver. Goldman Sachs came out and said $2,500 an ounce. We're citing a perfect storm by the end of the year. And one of our head generals, Mark Milley, said last week before the House Armed Services, he didn't talk about gold, but he just said this whole thing with Russia is not measured in days, weeks, or months, rather years. So this environment is not going to change in the near time soon. I think he knows and has a lot more inside data than you and I, significantly. So buckle your seatbelts. We're in a long bull markets in metals and probably some retractions in stock. Now's the time to call my company and diversify.
Yeah, how do they get that information?
844-604-2575. I'll say it again, 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
All right, my brother, thank you so much. God bless you. Thanks for your insight and your wisdom. We always appreciate it.
Good Friday to you and happy Easter.
Amen. You too, my friend. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Such an awesome message. I love you, man. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much. That was David Fisher, landmarkgold.com, as always. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. Back tomorrow with Adina Sopta, somebody that grew up in a communist country, Romania, and then came here. Now she's running for office. That's going to be a great story. We'll be back tomorrow. God willing, I'll see you then. And like my dad always used to say, ever fly.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.